Despite the government shutdown, the free application for federal student aid, also known as FAFSA, for the 2026-27 school year has officially opened. But you can't overlook the issues that arose last year around the FAFSA, including glitches and delays. So you can imagine there are a lot of questions about filling out the form. Any problems so far? Joining us now to talk about all of this is FAFSA expert Jack Wallace. Welcome to the show, Jack. Thank you for your time.
Good morning. Good Monday morning, Melissa, to you and your listeners.
I really appreciate your time. First and foremost, Jack, let's just address the elephant in the room. Are we hearing about any reported issues so far with FAFSA this year?
No, the good news, actually, they're ahead of schedule for the first time in history, as you mentioned earlier. Last year and the year before were absolutely abominable in filling out the FAFSA. But the good news is they opened in late September. They're open for business and they're processing. We want to issue a challenge, Melissa, to the high school class of 2026 in Connecticut on FAFSA. The class of 2025 did a great job, doing about 61.4% of the high school seniors completed FAFSA, which was about 2 points above the national average. But yeah, we want to get going. And after they listen to your segment, go to studentaid.gov and begin the process of setting up a FAFSA account and then completing the FAFSA. And remember, if you're not an independent student, which means that you provide 50% or more of your financial income for living purposes, the parent or guardian needs to fill out an account as well. 85% of the FAFSAs that are filled out by people get financial aid. And remember, that most people don't realize, Melissa, that FAFSA is used not only for federal student aid, like Pell Grants or student loans, but for state of Connecticut aid or for college or institutional aid. One of the other good things we got going on now is that, unlike when you and I filled out the FAFSA, there's less than 100 questions, only about 40 questions this time around that you have to fill out. So it takes a lot less time to fill out the form compared to in the past.
Go ahead. Yeah, no, you're fine, Jack. There's so much information there that I want to break down a few of those things a little bit more. First of all, I remember the rollout of the revamped, I want to say it was the 2024-25 FAFSA.
Right, 2 years ago. Yep,
yeah. Disaster. Unprecedented issues, impacted a lot of families, obviously, millions actually. But this was like a new software system. So did we just update or kind of work out the kinks of that current system, or did they roll out a brand new FAFSA system?
No, it's the same system that was rolled out 2 years ago, but now we've had 2 years of beta testing and opportunity of passage of time to correct the problems that, you know, were supposed to be solved the first time around when they issued the one 2 years ago. So it's a lot smoother, and the fact that the federal government technically is shut down, the FSA department within the U.S. Department of Education are deemed to be essential. So this stuff is being processed, whether it's the FAFSA forms or direct student loans or Pell Grant information is being processed in a, and I'll put quote, somewhat timely manner, but it's getting done.
Because my other question was going to be, obviously, yes, we've got a government shutdown going on right now, which is not getting in the way of FAFSA. But, you know, we do have moves to kind of dismantle the Department of Education, the U.S. Department of Education. Does that, if anything, impact FAFSA, you know, in the coming year or anything like that? I mean, is there any correlation between the two?
It's hard to project, but right now, basically, I think what you're going to see, based upon conversations that I've had in Washington with in the department, outside the department, is you'll see probably the student loan program move over to Treasury. But right now, a lot of other areas of the department are being or going to be reassigned to other agencies that have similar jobs doing similar things. So the answer is no. But that's subject to change, as you know, at any time with Washington.
Sure. And again, we've got Jack Wallace here, who's a FAFSA expert. And the 2026-27 school year for FAFSA, that has officially opened, so people can begin filling out that application. You had mentioned, Jack, that it used to be about 100 questions, now 40. Talk to us a little bit about the information people need before they start the FAFSA application. And when we say there are 40 questions, what kind of questions? Like, give us an idea.
Well, they cut them down. A lot of it has to do with the financial information that a parent or guardian used to have to input. Now you can check a box, and that gives permission to the IRS and Treasury to forward your related tax information, which for this period of time right now would be tax year 2024, to the Department of Education for the purposes of completing the FAFSA in its entirety. If you don't want to check that box, then you're going to need your tax information for that. And again, the parent or guardian that provides, you know, 50%+ of your financial support as a student needs to provide that information. It used to be, Melissa, back in the day when we filled this stuff out, that either parent or guardian could do it. But now it specifically requires the one who provides the most financial support.
And you had also said before, again, we've got Jack Wallace here, who's a FAFSA expert. You had said that there is an opportunity not just for federal support. But, I mean, talk a little bit about the difference between federal, state, and institutional aid.
Right. I mean, some places, some states, not every state, provide state aid from their Department of Education at the state level. So they look at the FAFSA form, and then the college or university program that you go to for institutional aid, which is the money that that particular school, you know, like University of Bridgeport or Sacred Heart, I pick a school in your listener area, might provide. They also use the FAFSA form. So it's a trifecta when it comes to filling out the form. And as I said earlier, 85% of students get financial aid when they fill out the FAFSA. You know, a lot of people, you know, particularly in areas of Connecticut, think, well, I make too much money, I'm not going to get anything. Well, that's not true. There's no income cap on a requirement for filling out financial aid.
Now, this is definitely based on tax information, right? I mean, how do we?
Correct.
Okay, so
it is based on need.
Okay,
you know, that's the purpose of this. But it also is not just, you know, grants and scholarships. You know, you need to fill out FAFSA if you're going to need a federal student loan to help bridge the gap, given the cost of higher education these days, to pay for the rest of it.
We are chatting with FAFSA expert Jack Wallace. And just so you know, despite the government shutdown, the free application for federal student aid, also known as FAFSA, for the 2026-27 school year is officially open. And we wanted to ask Jack just some common questions when it comes to filling out the FAFSA application. So first and foremost, Jack, are there common mistakes students will make when completing FAFSA?
Yes, they don't know their social security number, which is a problem. So make sure you have that before you fill it out. The other issue that is both for the student and for the parent or guardian is that, you know, the more blanks you leave, the chances that it'll slow down the application process being totally processed. So don't leave blanks if you don't have to. So either put in a zero or put in not applicable. Don't use a decimal point and put pennies on there, you know, round it to the closest dollar. Those are some common mistakes that people make that may kick out. It's stupid stuff, but it may kick out, you know, or require additional questions from the department. And right now, we don't want to require additional questions given the staffing situation that's going on down there.
I mean, on average, and again, everybody's going to be different, obviously, in how prepared you are before you fill it out is certainly a determining factor. But on average, how long does it take a person, Jack Wallace, to fill out FAFSA?
You're not going to believe this, Melissa, but it's now some people, for the most part, it's 10 minutes.
Really?
I mean, it used to be a half an hour,
right,
an hour, depending on. And you know, one of the other things that's good about, and I know people don't like, say, well, I don't want to have Treasury talking to the Department of Education about my tax information. But one of the biggest issues in the past, Melissa, was that parents or guardians weren't necessarily enamored with, you know, sharing the family finances with the student, you know?
Yeah,
and so
sure,
that was an obstacle.
I can understand
in the days
that.
When you and I filled it out.
Sure.
To getting a parent or guardian to apply for FAFSA.
Mm. So is that something that has been worked out?
Yeah, now what we got to do is check a box. I give my permission for the transfer of the data from Treasury, IRS to the department. And so that cut out a lot of questions for sure.
Mm, yeah,
which
certainly
has cut down on the timing.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
What would you recommend? Again, Jack Wallace is here, who's a FAFSA expert. You know, what do you recommend people to do to really maximize their eligibility for need-based aid?
Well, you got to tell the truth. So you can't make, you know, this is not a short story contest. And so you know, just be prepared. I mean, the big issue is the facts are the facts when it comes to your financial situation. But the other way to become an educated consumer, and as I cross the country here and talk to students and parents like we're talking today on your show, you know, I say, look, be an educated consumer. If you're thinking of a private school, maybe you think public. You know, you got great public institutions in Connecticut. If your kid doesn't know what they want to do, maybe what you do is you think about community college, you know, or a certificate program. And we have a new program coming out July of next year, which is these workforce development program, Pell Grant program financing opportunities, which, again, you'll have to fill out the FAFSA form. So we have to be better educated consumers. Not only pick a school that your kid can get into, but one that the family can afford. And that's one way to be an educated consumer and keep down the debt side of the equation of financing higher education in this day and age.
Jack, when you fill out FAFSA, is that sort of a done deal, or is there a way to go back in, fix it, or change it in any way? And once you've filled out FAFSA, do you have to do it for every single school, or is it just once, one and done?
No, actually, one of the things that's great about the new FAFSA form that came out 2 years ago, and it's still applicable today, Melissa, is that it went from 10 schools that you could include on the form to 20. Now,
oh,
I don't
wow.
know, you know, who wants to pay the, you know, the application fee for 20 schools these days. But yeah, no, you have the, no, it's, you don't have to do it for every school. You can get up to 20 schools listed where you can have the FAFSA form and results sent to.
Yeah. And does FAFSA have an impact on a student's scholarships or merit-based awards?
Well, it helps you get more of them. And you know, that's as we talked earlier about, you know, institutional aid and also state aid. So in that way, it helps you. And remember, we want more scholarships and grants than we want student loans in this day and age of high cost of secondary education.
What would you suggest? Again, we've got Jack Wallace here, who's a FAFSA expert. What are the best, you know, next steps? So once a student has filled out FAFSA, what do they do after that?
Well, they go shopping online for scholarships and grants. And remember, Melissa, the financial aid pot of money, whether it's at the federal level, the state level, the institution level, is first come, first serve. That's why your segment today is so important, because we're early on, even though FAFSA opened 2 weeks early, we're early on and in season for looking for scholarships and financial aid. So, you know, there's not an unlimited pot of money. First in, you're better off. You have a greater opportunity for getting those funds are available. So that's a great, you know, recommendation to go to studentaidaid.gov as soon as they hear your segment and set up the accounts. It'll take a couple of days to get confirmation those accounts have been confirmed, and then go right in again and fill out that FAFSA form and file it.
And I'm on the website right now, which we will link to this podcast, voiceofct.com. I just went to check for Connecticut. It says February 15th of 2026. That is for a priority consideration to submit your FAFSA form, midnight central time. That is the deadline there. The federal deadline, it says, is June 30th of 2027.
Yeah. So you don't want to wait.
You don't want to wait that long, though. Right. Of course. Right. Of course. Of course.
Exactly.
And then it does say what I think is interesting. It says for college deadline, you've got to check with your school specifically. So it doesn't even have that deadline listed.
Well, some of the deadlines, you know, are back in the spring. But if you're going to go early admission, Melissa, you know, you got to get it in early because a lot of, you know, some have rolling admissions.
True.
Which start as soon as and we're in that season right now. Some schools back in the day when we filled this stuff out, you know, you had to have your application for early admission in by December 1st. So you need to check with this, make your list of schools as soon as you finish with FAFSA, okay? And then go in and check and see those dates if you're thinking about going early admission. But again, with the application, just like the financial aid application for FAFSA, you want to do it early.
All right. And again, we are going to link that website to ours, voiceofct.com, under this podcast with, again, Jack Wallace, FAFSA expert. Jack, thank you so much for your time and sharing all this very important information. And again, we will link the form to our website with your podcast on voiceofct.com. Thanks, Jack. We appreciate it.